This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, one in the books, two to go. Second hour of the show starts now. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Tuesday in the big city. As Barry is here, I am here, and Nick has decided to join us until someone gives him a better offer for at least a day.
Until a better show comes along?
Yeah.
Hey, real quick, I just want to put a bow on the Houston MMA Love Fest that we've had going on. But Juan Adams, friend of the show, friend of the station, going to join the Blitz at 5:30 today. Love me some Juan Adams. The Kraken is a legitimate... dude, I mean, in all aspects,
he listens to the cage, out of the cage. Was driving to New Mexico, right?
Yeah, he's a big suspect and blitzer.
Yep.
And UFC heavyweight that I'm super rooting for. So had a tough loss that last one when he called out Greg Hardy, didn't go his way, but we're all rooting for the Kraken for here from Houston. So tune in 5:30.
There you go.
There you go.
So plenty more reasons to keep it tuned all day to ESPN 97.5. I mentioned it. Let's get into it. We can always get double circle back on the Astros, but the trade deadline in the NBA is 2 p.m. Central Time on Thursday. We all know the Rockets. Well, let me just put it this way. There's a certain cross-section of people in this city and around that still believes this is a championship-caliber team. But for the rest of us level-headed people that are basketball fans, we know the Rockets probably could use some help, and they probably got to do some things. So with that being said, it has been rumored that Clint Capella is in the middle of a lot of discussions. Adrian Wojnarowski is out there right now within the hour reporting that Minnesota, former Rockets front office personnel master Gerson Rosas, dealing with his ex-boss Daryl Morey, Minnesota orchestrating a three-team trade talk with the Rockets and the Atlanta Hawks, with hopes of ultimately turning that discussion and what they would get out of it into a four-way deal that would bring Golden State guard D'Angelo Russell to the Timberwolves. In the discussions, Clint Capella would go to Atlanta, Robert Covington would go to the Rockets, multiple picks would go to Minnesota. The crazy thing about all of this, and obviously
and
we're going to focus...
And who would go...
And D'Angelo Russell, right, would go to Minnesota.
What the hell would the Warriors get in that?
The Warriors would get the picks.
Oh, the picks go to... You said Minnesota, yeah, but you meant the Warriors.
Yeah, I did. The Warriors get the picks.
Right.
Russell goes to Minnesota. Capella goes to Atlanta. Covington goes to the Rockets.
Got it.
It doesn't solve all the Rockets' woes, but it obviously, I think, in a lot of ways helps them because... I've been getting into it with people that are wannabe Daryl Morey analytics guys who a few weeks ago when I said they needed shooting were like, do you know that they're number 10 in defensive rating and number 8 in offensive rating? Well, guess what? Now they're not, and now they're not even the top 4, and they need a lot of help. So you're going to give up Clint Capella, and I don't think that's a big deal. But I think in return – the fact that you're starting to get more players that fit. If you're going to stick with this system, and who knows if they're going to stick with it long term, but you're in win now mode.
Mm-hmm.
You've given up all your draft picks. You can't be worried about the future. You've got your two big superstars. You've got to make this team right now better. And as we mentioned, you can't trade Gordon. So giving up Capella to get a Covington, now you get the wing that they wanted that takes a little offensive pressure off of James and Russ. He can shoot the three ball really well. He doesn't have as much pressure on him because he's got guys he can rely on. Now it's just a matter of, can you find in a separate deal a center that can at least give you some of what Capella does at a lot cheaper price that just rebounds and protects the rim?
Do you like that move more than John Collins?
Yeah.
Covington versus Collins, who would you prefer?
I think Covington, he knows Houston. They were the ones that discovered him. They had him on their D-League team forever when it was the D-League team. And then, just, you know, they just used him as a piece to try and, you know, give up to, I believe, Sam Hinkie when he went to Philly. But they loved him for a while, and I think he's a really good fit for this team. He knows James very well, and James is a delicate personality.
Mm-hmm.
So the more you know James coming into this situation, the better off you can be. Because if we look at a guy like Daniel House, and we've seen in both behind the scenes and up front, when James yells at Daniel House, you can forget Daniel House for that day. He just doesn't deal with it well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a problem. You got to be able to deal with James's personality, and I definitely think that Covington's a guy that can do that. So I think that it's a good fit. It's a good start. Do I think they're done? No. Do I think they should be? Absolutely not, because there's more holes to fill. But this would at least get them going in the right direction, because you know as well as I do, when they rely on Eric Gordon, one night he gives you 50, And the 1 minute he in the next game, he gives you a negative 50 in the box score. And I kid at that. But the game after the 50 piece he put on Utah, he was awful.
Yeah.
And you need more consistency from your third best player.
And I think that the in the case, because I like Collins, I think, a little bit better from an offense perspective.
And he's younger.
Yeah, much younger and less wear and tear, all that. But third year in the league, I believe. But I think the big thing, too, is Covington obviously is going to improve your team defensively in the perimeter for sure. I think he's a better defensive player, Covington is, than Collins. So if you're trying to get better defensively at the same time, because you are going to lose some defense, some rim protection. Let's face it, it's Capella. He's a little soft around the rim, but he still, you know, gets some block shots and rebounds, and maybe that's where Covington becomes, you know, a little bit better of an exchange than a Collins, because I don't know that Collins brings as much defensively to the table.
I mean, you guys know I love Clint Capella, but what better time to shop him than now? I feel like James Harden, with the addition of Russell Westbrook, his approach in playing with Clint Capella has changed. And I feel like Clint Capella was a better player when Chris Paul was running the point. And so now, yes, you can make the argument that he's a systems player and he might have to be traded. So I'm not mad at them shopping Clint Capella, even though I absolutely love it. But what better time to do it than right now? Because you are in win now mode. And if this doesn't work this year, maybe you start considering rebuilding. We don't know.
And I think this too, guys. I think the league has changed. And we all know the rules changed and everybody's talking about the three ball and everything like that. But just showing what the Rockets have been able to do with the 6 foot 6 foot six and under lineup recently and still win shows you that the 7 foot center is a dying breed in this league. Mm-hmm. And aside from Joel Embiid, you'd be hard pressed to find a guy that's going to be a key cog in the middle that's going to be, you know, dominant and someone that you build around. And when you look at what Clint Capella is, unfortunately, unlike Dwight Howard, he works his ass off and he wants to be better. But he's just offensively challenged. And in this league, if you can't score points and you can't drop the ball down and get buckets from a guy like that, you become a liability more than you become an asset. And because, look, for all that we said when Capella was a free agent, Daryl Morey did the right thing in saying, go out and shop yourself. And if you can find someone that believes like you believe that you're a max player, we'll consider it. But because he couldn't find that offer and the Rockets didn't make that deal, they now have a tradable asset that teams will be willing to engage with you in.
Smart move,
unlike,
by the Rockets.
Yeah, yeah, unlike if he was making 20-some, 30-some million dollars a year, people would be like, are you kidding me? For 10 points a game? And sure, anybody gets rebounds, but I can't do that.
Yeah. Now, a couple things. If they do this, if they end up getting a Collins or a Covington or somebody like that, does that end the discussion about the potential of a buyout with Iguodala go down the stretch? Because I don't think you're going to do both, right?
Oh, I do. If it's a buyout, yes. If it's a trade, no. Because here's the thing.
You still think they would add Iguodala to the mix?
Absolutely. Any team that wants to be considered a contender that didn't want to add Andre Iguodala, his experience, his maturity, he's won, and he still has a lot to offer, you'd be out of your mind. The biggest question mark from a Rockets perspective is you'd have to get him if he was bought out.
Yeah.
Because if a trade's made and Memphis is saying they want to trade him, but he has a list, I guess, of a short list of teams he would be accepting a trade to.
Is the Rockets on that list?
I don't know that. I've been trying to find that out. But I do know that he's on the books for $17 million. So if you pull this deal off with Capella, you cannot make a trade right now that would work for you. Basically, to get Iguodala straight up from Memphis, it would have to be moving parts, and the best way to acquire him would be if he was on waivers, or bought out. And the biggest thing you think about there is, in years past, Austin Rivers, Kenneth Faried, guys wanted to play in Houston. They're like, why wouldn't I go join a team where I'm going to get minutes on a team that's got a chance to win? Now, when you think about it, the Clippers want Iguodala. The Warriors want him back. The Lakers want him. There's plenty of teams that would want him to where it would be a bargaining and a bidding war as opposed to years past when you're like, hey, door's open, come on over.
If you're going to go small, and I was looking at trade rumors and stuff like that, and there was a fan site that had a list of different moves that might be made by the Rockets, 8 different names. And one of the names that I thought when you start really looking into it, they mentioned Mike Scott from the Sixers. And I realize he's a bench player that only gets 17 minutes a game, but then when they started to break it down and his defensive win share and how he's top, I think 150
stretch
in the league,
four-ish, can shoot
yeah,
the three.
And he can knock down that. I mean, he shot 40% the last couple of years, 35% for his career. And then they talked about what was intriguing is you could still trade Capella and get Covington or Collins, but then what they suggested is you could even package. Where did it go? They said you could package up Clemens. And damn it, where I just lost it. It was right here on the page. Ah, there it goes. Nene, Gerald Green, and Chris Clemens, and get him from the Sixers.
I would absolutely do that. But you know, when you look,
because they need 3-and-D guys. That's what this team is built for.
And they do need to make more. I said Redick was a guy who would be a perfect fit because you watch him in the game that was played Sunday here at Toyota Center, and he sat on the floor during the fourth quarter when it was a tight game. And I'm going, I understand you're going young, but it's a disservice to both J.J. Redick and the teams in the league that would love to have him. If he's not going to be in your plans the way you're playing right now, find him a home before Thursday at 2 o'clock because he could help a lot of teams too and could be an asset that could change the whole landscape of whichever team he goes to.
All right, so let's just – I'm going to throw this out there. Let's say that they get Covington and that's it. Mm. Is that not enough to make this team a contender in your eyes?
No, because now you're losing the one guy over 6'6 that you would play.
In the playoffs.
Yeah, post-defense, rebounding. You better hope somehow, some way you find someone.
Because Tyson Chandler's done. We can agree.
Why he's not playing, I don't understand it.
Nene, done, obviously.
That was Daryl getting cute with the cap when it didn't work.
That ruined him.
Nene won the lottery. He got like $4 million to walk away.
But you can't go into the playoffs and your big is Hartenstein,
right? Or your boy PJ. How can PJ Tucker be your post defender? Yeah.
And that's why I say a guy like Covington can guard. And Mike Scott, too, for that matter, from the dude at Fansided that threw that out. So I do think there's some options. And I think the Rockets are going to be busy this week.
Oh, they are. And let me tell you this.
That's exciting.
There's never been a trade deadline where Daryl hasn't made a move. So I expect him to make at least one. But keep an eye on the Golden State Warriors, boys.
Really?
They're tanking this year. They're going to have their own number one.
And if they trade
Russell,
picks.
Because remember, you don't need Russell with Curry back.
Yeah.
So you trade Russell for two more number ones. Oof. You're getting Clay back, Steph back, Draymond still there. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
You better win now because they're going to be back.
And they're going to have the number one or the top three.
They're going to have a top
pick,
five,
probably.
Top three pick, and two other number ones in the next couple coming years. Well, they're reloading on the fly. All right, we are too. We're going to take a quick break. Going to come back with a whole lot more. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city.
Stephen A. Smith here. If you're like me, you have a mortgage and a family who depends on your income, then you need to protect the ones you love with life insurance. Life insurance can help pay off a mortgage or send the kids to college. It's peace of mind. Think you can afford it? Chances are SelectQuote can help you get it for less than a dollar a day. SelectQuote comparison shops up to 10 highly rated companies, including Prudential, Banner Life, and Mutual of Omaha and others, to find you the company with the best rates. For example, SelectQuote could find a 35-year-old man a $500,000 policy for under $21 a month. That's less than a dollar a day. SelectQuote's breakthrough technology allows them to quickly match you with the best insurance company to find your best policy. Plus, quotes are free. Start protecting your family today. Call SelectQuote at 1-800-601-6992. That's 1-800-601-6992. Or go to SelectQuote.com/Smith.
Get full details in the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through the first half of the show, it's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Nick, Barry, and Joel on a Tuesday in the big city. I won't say it. You guys already know. Tomorrow's Wednesday.
Yeah, it is. Big hump day, right? That's it. Hump day, Mike.
You want way back Wednesday
Guess
to be
what
about
day
humping?
It is. Huh?
You want way back Wednesday to be about songs about humping?
There's plenty humping around my humps. Oh no, is that lumps or my hump?
That's yeah. Fergie, right?
You got 22 more to go.
No, I just need 6 more.
Oh,
because
nice.
I just claimed those two.
Huh? News of the day, Michigan State and Mark D'Antonio, the football coach that has been there 13 seasons, stepping down. So Michigan State has an opening for a head football coach. on their campus. That just breaking. Earlier today, Steve Mills, president of the New York Knicks, who as late as last night was trying to orchestrate trades to better his team, found out from the ever-stable ownership of James Dolan, he no longer has a job.
Ooh.
So now the Knicks are looking for a president of basketball operations. They want Masai your... Go ahead. I always hack it up.
No. I want to hear it.
Urijai from Toronto. The problem is he has a new long-term contract at big dollars, and Toronto's going to want compensation if they work out a deal. So I would go to plan B. But good thing that you fired your president of basketball operations 2 days before the trade deadline, and your team already sucks. Well done, James Dolan. Well done.
Way to go. They're like the Tampa Bay Rays of the NBA, getting rid of important people right before important dates.
Did they get rid of him, or did he get enticed to leave? Because as we mentioned before Crew Bob joined us, news of the day is, one, the Astros have their new general manager, James Click, 42 years old, was vice president of baseball operations for the Tampa Bay Rays. But Yahoo Sports, not happy about it. Their headlines were all about the fact that this is just the Astros just doing a disservice to the Rays.
And
punishing a team that didn't deserve it by taking one of their key baseball cogs away.
Oh, kiss my ass, Yahoo. This is the game of baseball, bro. He didn't have to leave. He got made a better offer. There was nothing illegal done here. Yahoo, stop crying. This ain't nothing. Just because you hate the Astros, they didn't do anything wrong. If it was so great in Tampa Bay, he wouldn't
keep
have left.
Him, right? A team that's always frugal with their dollars. If you don't want him to go, you know what? Any smart, and I'm sure the guy has an agent, but any smart person that's being pursued for another job, before he actually signs on the dotted line, would go back to his current employer and go, this is what they're offering.
Yeah, look, I'm thinking about leaving. This is what they're offering. And some employers go, bye.
Yep.
And some employers go, oh, no, we can't, you know, move forward without you. We got to keep you. We'll match it. No, you got to beat it, not match it. Oh, we don't spend that kind of money. We're the Tampa Bay Rays. Well, then I guess I'm leaving. Oh, no, you can't do that. It's only a couple weeks until a pitchers and catchers report. Stop. I mean, the dude did nothing wrong. The Astros did nothing wrong. The Rays did nothing wrong. This is just how baseball works.
Huge analytics guys, we know. Yeah. We talked about the fact that, look, Tampa was one of those teams that never had money to play with, so they were innovative. They used the opener instead of starting pitchers when they didn't have the budget to go get one. They pursue the shift. They do a lot of the different things that right in the Astros' wheelhouse. And as you were quick to mention, look, Dusty Baker, short-term deal, 1 year with a team option for a second. But because you're this close to the start of spring training, you just needed a guy with experience that, in the case of Dusty Baker, also has dealt with scandal when he had Barry Bonds, that can stabilize this clubhouse and get this team ready for this season. But he got a one-year deal. The fact that Click got five means you're going to get your guy in time, but this is the year, for just this year, you guys just got to hit the ground running, and you got to keep this team moving.
Yeah, cool. And the Rays, I guess, president or owner, Stuart Steinberg, said, the departure of another talented senior Rays executive is difficult. That difficulty is compounded by the timing of the departure, only days from the opening of spring training. Look.
Then lock him up.
Your organization is the stepping stone organization, right? You know that. Like, no one looks at Tampa Bay and goes, destination. But you have a team that's 2 years removed from winning a World Series and went to one last year. And sure, they're embroiled in a cheating scandal. But at the end of the day, there's not going to be any cheating that goes on this year. And you know that their lineup is stacked, that everything is in place. All you have to do is come in and at the very least continue to do what was being done. And there are enough people here that know what was being done in order for you to maintain it, put your spin on it. But he's smart enough and he's good enough to do it and then take it to the next level and maybe make it even better. And how do you get better than two World Series in 3 years? I don't know. But this is the chance you take. And if he's that good,
as I said, wrap him up. I mean, look, this is the second one. But when you look at it, so he was being relied on to cover some of the responsibilities of Senior Vice President Chaim Bloom, who was taken away as Chief Baseball Officer of the Boston Red Sox earlier in the offseason. Click was set to take over some of his responsibilities, so you didn't lock up Bloom. Now you didn't lock up Click. They're both gone to greener pastures, a lot more money, a lot better opportunity, and you have no one to blame but yourself.
Well, Friedman went to the Dodgers, too, who was also in the Rays organization. So, yeah, It's I'm sorry, but is Bob, by the way, Bob's probably training Derek. It's like U of H. Like, you're a stepping stone school. That's what it is.
Now that Bob is not in studio.
Fire stick.
You start taking shots at the University of Houston.
But, I mean, that's what it is, right? I mean, look, no, U of H isn't a destination school unless you're out of options. But as a coach, as an up-and-coming coach, you look at U of H as a great opportunity to go to a school somewhere that sits somewhere in the middle of college football. And if you can elevate it to the bottom of the upper echelon, you're going to get a better job.
Plus, as the basketball team will tell
that's
you,
that's the
Nick,
raise.
The bottom line is their Nick. Bark is way worse than their bite.
Who? What?
The U of H basketball team.
Oh.
I mean, as that'll tell you, their bark is way worse than their bite. And you probably need to do some research on that because you were out of town.
I saw the link that you put on the rundown. I did not see the full story. But I have not been keeping up with the University of Houston basketball, especially last week over the weekend, because I just wasn't – I was too inundated with the Super Bowl. But, yeah, there's a bunch surrounding the University of Houston right now.
Yeah, so. Cincinnati went right at the teeth of the defense and won. So we've got other things we can get to.
Haters.
How is that hating?
You hating.
No one made that dude bite that dude on the calf.
Yeah, I just think you have bit off more than they could chew.
Yeah, Al Jarreau, stop biting people.
And then, I did see the video because Coach Sampson was looking. He's like, "Did you just bite that guy or something like that?" Did he? They had the video.
What?
On Twitter,
so
there was
Deja
a video.
Jarreau, if Deja you missed Jarreau, it, yeah. was in the middle of the. They're in the middle of the game with the University of Cincinnati on the road. The ball gets loose. Scramble. There's guys on the floor. At the time, the focus, and this is on the people that were putting it on the internet. He goes down the first time, and one of the player from Cincinnati's legs goes up against his face. And Calvin Sampson was adamant after the game, "I did not see a bite. I watched it three times. There was no bite." But he was looking at the wrong play because as the play continued and he rolled over, another player came into the mix. And then I wouldn't be that confident. A day later, Calvin Sampson had to retract the statement, say there was a bite, suspend Jarreau for one game. And now the conference has come back and said, "We think that's adequate." But bad look for the entire basketball program and Calvin Sampson as he's been building and getting a lot of momentum over the last couple of years. This is not a good look.
I mean,
I don't know. I'm going to be a homer on this, too. Like, is it a bad look? You got a player that acted like an immature child. You suspend him.
You didn't realize.
On.
You didn't. I mean, the one video you saw, you didn't see the bite. So I get that. And he came back and made it right and suspended him. I don't think it's a bad look. I think it's a bad look on Jarreau.
For sure.
But I don't think Calvin Sampson did anything wrong.
You can't control the player and his emotions, but it's just a bad look for U of H because now everybody, instead of watching another
cheaters.
Good season that's playing good basketball, they're going to be, "Oh, you got the guy that bit the
Cougars out here just biting people." Yeah, this can't have that.
It's on Sampson now to discipline him and make sure that he understands what he did was wrong and that he can still be a motivated player and play well for this team. That's what coaches do.
One game enough?
That's what coaches do.
One game enough?
Yeah.
I mean, well, how many more do you want?
Well, here's the thing. I'm going to be a lawyer in this. Was there skin breakage? What was the damage in the bite? If we didn't draw blood, then I can forgive it in one game. But if it was more substantial injury, then I might have to suspend him longer.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
That's my medical breakdown.
There you go.
All right, so that's the first half of the show. Still got a second half to go, so lots more to get to in the final 90 minutes. Something on your mind you want to get off your chest? Join us, 713-780-3776. Call that number. Text that number. Hit us on Twitter. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Second half of the show starts right now on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. 90 in the books, 90 still to go, and the way we like to start off the second half is to reward you guys for being suspects. And with that being said, the countdown is on to the kickoff of rugby season in H-Town. The Houston Sabercats begin their third Major League Rugby season this Saturday at the brand new Aviva Stadium. Caller 12 right now, 713-780-3776, wins a pair of tickets to enjoy a great day of family fun, rugby, and cold Carbach beer. How do you beat that? Tickets starting as low as just $20 if you don't win them. But you know, you're going to have your chance to win right now. So caller 12 right now, 713-780-3776. Caller 12 gets tickets to see the Sabercats. And if you don't win them, you can buy them. HoustonSabercats.com. Good luck.
Some text and tweets that we haven't got to. Dr. Runberg said, Barry, Joel, I haven't ordered a UFC in a year, but y'all got me stoked on this one with that interview with Crew Bob. So nice. Good.
Yep.
That's awesome. I implore you guys that are fringe fight fans to get out there. Mark said not so much in the UFC, but Eze Edwards is legendary in MMA. I used to train with him off Rayford at 45. His gym has been gone for years, though. Yeah, that was before it turned into a Gracie Baja gym, I believe, over there at Rayford and 45. That was a different gym. My apologies. But yeah, man, Eze Edwards is a guy that got me into MMA. He's one of the few guys that it was a flying knee, I believe. And I forget who he was fighting, but man, I watched him fight and just fell in love with the sport because he was a large part of that. A couple texts. Somebody texted and said, I know you don't usually read text in the opening segment. I just wanted to say thank you all for all the laughs. I listen to you guys every day on the way to Police Academy. And today I graduate and pass the state exam. I will continue to listen. First of all, congratulations on passing the Police Academy.
Yes.
Second of all, I'm assuming you're going to become a police officer. Thank you for your service in advance. And congratulations again. That's really cool.
Yeah, very cool. Thanks for listening.
And then somebody said Nick Willful Sharara. So he's on the phone line and can't defend himself, which is perfect.
Yeah, well, let's keep it there.
He is the Willfuller of this show for sure.
But is he injured?
I mean, he's just missed games. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I would
say. He's the Nene. If I'm the Willfuller, he's the Nene.
That's a good call.
Yeah,
Nick Nene Sharara. Nene Sharara, it should be it.
Nick, I almost.
Shanene.
Yeah.
Nick Shanene.
There you go.
How about that?
I like it. Nick Shanene.
Fits. Nick Shanene, the producer extraordinaire, temporary producer of the Blitz, part-time visitor to Vegas.
Francisco said he's drinking wine and banging on trash cans with the usual suspects. I don't know. He's somewhere with the World Series trophy.
Hanging.
Take
and banging,
a picture
bro.
With an asterisk next to it.
Nick, we have rewarded you with a new nickname.
Yeah, somebody texted and said Nick Will Fuller Sharara.
Oh, I should be upset. You're stealing my joke, man. And I'm the one who said Barry Will Fuller Lemonade.
Well, they texted it.
But now, wait a minute. I brought up a point.
Yeah, I said that you. If I'm the Will Fuller, we won't steal your joke. If I'm the Will Fuller, you're the Nene of the program.
Okay. Still a thievery. No. Of just saying, it's basically
hurt.
The same thing.
Will Fuller was all about being hurt.
Yeah, and then they just missed games just because.
But let me just say again, though. Life could be a lot worse than being Nene. He was going to retire at the end of last year. Daryl Morey thought he could put a wrinkle into the salary cap situation and use him in a trade and get him paid to not play anymore. The league caught on to it, blew up the deal. And the Rockets said, well, you know, there's nothing we can do. The league said you have to uphold the contract. No. Nene got like $4 or $5 million to just go home. You've seen the locker, Nick. He's got a locker with nothing in it.
Does he really?
Oh, yeah.
They have him. They have a
I
locker for
I don't know
for
if
him?
He has a locker anymore.
Well, they might have taken it
no,
away
Russell,
finally.
No, Russell has his locker.
Because he was on the other side of James, right? It was
correct.
Those
hey, Russell,
first
Russell
two
took,
lockers.
They gave Nene's locker to Westbrook pretty quickly.
Okay.
I think Tony confirmed that.
Yeah, that was, it was that, like, that gave you the indication. Nene, there was no plans that Nene ever planned for the Rockets again. That was just trying to circumvent the system, Daryl. And you outsmarted yourself. And by the way, I give Daryl credit, but the fact that he called the Celtics and wanted Marcus Smart for Clint Capella, I don't know if you know what the rest of the world thinks about some of the players on your team, but you're not getting Marcus Smart for Clint Capella.
Okay. Well, you got to try, right? Squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Okay. Go see what he tried to get from the Nets, too.
You can't get told no if you don't ask.
By the way, speaking
of
the Nets.
You also can't get a yes.
Kevin Durant running sprints.
Yeah.
Not throwing a football very coordinated, but doing some sprints and getting back there. So it's always encouraging to see
That's
KD
good.
Closer to a return.
That's good.
That's another team you're going to have to reckon with in a year.
Yeah.
You know, with Kyrie and Kevin Durant, they're not going to be unloading all their assets either.
I'm just going to go on record now. Mark this down. Nick, write this in a journal or something, whatever. I don't think they're going to be that good.
Oh.
I don't see them getting along. For some reason.
As in this year or just in the future in general?
I just don't know if KD and Kyrie get along. Oh. If they're going to get along, if the chemistry is going to be there.
I think they're going to be okay, especially in the East.
Well, it is the East, but I mean, look how we thought Philadelphia was going to be.
Aside from
and they're not
Milwaukee
getting along.
And
they're
and
awful
Boston.
On the road, by the way. Did you see the road and home statistics for the Sixers? We'll get to that. I don't want to
no,
do
they
two
got,
topics.
And they got pasted last night. But I was going to say, you're already a top four team just by having Durant take the floor next year with Kyrie.
That's what we said about the Rockets, and they're struggling to make that happen.
I didn't say that about the Rockets.
Well, I mean, a lot of people thought they were up there. You had them up there.
I said I was going to. I remained optimistic. I was going to evaluate them after 25 games.
Yeah, but you had them up there, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot. Individually, they're both great players, but I don't know if they're going to click. If it's going to work.
And the jury is still out.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to see how it all plays out. But they're on the floor, by the way, again tonight. Russell Westbrook out with a thumb injury. Mm-hmm. Capella still out with his, what is it, heel, but also the fact that he's in the center of all these trade discussions.
Clint Capella's out with, we don't want to mess up our only trade asset, so you're just going to ride the pine until the trade deadline.
So they're going to go with the 6-6 and under lineup again, it looks like. But if you can't beat the Hornets, and I know they got Scary Terry from the Celtics and some young players, but Harden's going to play, you're fine. They showed what they can do against a Utah team that's actually pretty damn good, and you beat them without Russ and James and Clint. I would think they should be okay tonight, but these are the games that you say that, and then you watch, it's going to be a ball game tonight.
Of course.
And we've said that recently.
That's what they do.
Doesn't matter. The only game that they really had in hand for the most part was the Utah game when they didn't have Harden and Capella and Westbrook. So we'll see how it all plays out. But last game at home, then they go to a quick LH stop, and they play the Lakers Thursday night. I hope Russ's thumb is better for that one.
You're going to need it.
Because that's a whole different ball game. You're going to play the Lakers on the road without those guys.
Yeah, the Lakers and then Phoenix. That Utah game that's right after is going to be on NBA TV. Do you have NBA TV? Is that something you have to buy?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Part of a
have it.
Cable providing package of
so I don't have to buy NBA TV. It's just there. I don't recall.
Depends on how you, as Nick was saying, it depends on how you access your programming.
Okay.
Because a lot of cable systems do not carry NBA TV.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have the league pass. I just watch them all.
Gee, big surprise.
Shocking, right?
Big surprise. You have the league pass. Mm-hmm. I was going to make a comment, but I'm not going to do that to you.
It's okay. I mean, you guys are watching porn, and I'm watching the late game on the West Coast. It's just the way it plays out.
First of all, I am not watching porn late at night with the wife home and asleep. What am I?
Look dangerously, Barry.
No.
Shoot your shot.
Listen, although there are, I know it's not the 3 o'clock hour yet.
It's perfect. You can do it now.
Yeah. There are dudes that will, while they're in bed, will pleasure themselves with their wife.
I said live dangerously, not commit suicide.
While their wife is asleep. That makes no sense to me. So I don't even want to do it in the next room when she's there. Then she wakes up to go get some water from the kitchen, and there I am just sprawled out naked on the couch.
Talk about getting caught red-handed.
Yeah, getting after her. And she's like, what are you doing? Well, you were asleep and
playing Grand Theft Auto with the stick shift.
And I was playing this video game, and then this chick got nude on it, and it just got me excited. And no, I'm not doing that when the wife's home. Who does that when their wife is home? If the wife is home and she's awake,
some people
just have sex with the wife.
Thrill seekers living on the edge.
No, don't do that. That's not a thing. Would you do that with Lisa in the bed, asleep? There are guys that do that, though.
Not just Lisa. The freaking dogs would be going, what the hell are you doing?
Dog's like, bro, just do like I do and lick it. What's
See, just, now you're living dangerously, too.
Reach your head around there and give it a go.
You think Dejan Giroux has teeth? Look the hell out.
Yeah. I'm not doing that. And I'm not risking it while the wife is in the bed, either. That is a solo sport.
Glad we've clarified.
No one around.
Rolling through hour number 2, 3-hour show. Plenty of opportunities. If you got something in your mind you want to get off your chest and join us, HR&P Listener Line, 713-780-3776. Call that number, text that number, or hit us on Twitter. By the way, we mentioned when the Hall of Fame announcements came out for baseball, Derek Jeter was not unanimous. He missed it by one vote. Now people are on Leonard Nimoy in search of. They want to find out who it was and why they didn't vote for Jeter. We'll give you an update along the way. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
I hear that. You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back for the final segment of hour number two of the three-hour show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. I don't know if you saw this or not as we continue to just kind of span the globe. The Lakers have cleaned up the entire memorial for Kobe Bryant. Vanessa Bryant was out there saying that she would like to see some of it at least stay, and she definitely didn't want any of it to go to waste. They have said that they have boxed up over 1,300 basketballs.
Wow.
They are taking all the flowers and turning them into mulch, which will be laid around the Staples Center. But you got to, I mean, think about just all the jerseys, the candles. Yeah. There was a lot of stuff.
Yeah. I heard they're giving some stuff to her.
I think she said some of the artwork and things like that she was interested in keeping.
Yeah.
But we don't even know when the funeral is going to be. They said that all the families are now in control of the remains of the people involved. But again, we don't have a solution. As they said, it was definitely bad weather. They've uncovered some of the 911 calls, and people are saying how the visibility was so limited. There's a guy that actually describes the fact that he heard a helicopter flying way too low, called 911, and then heard a pop followed by no more sounds of helicopter.
Oh, wow.
So
that's awful.
And then we're still waiting to find out funeral. They're saying right now that if Michael Jackson's funeral was big enough to be held at Staples Center, they're contemplating having Kobe's public memorial at the Coliseum.
That's crazy.
That's a whole hell of a lot of people, guys.
Yeah. That is, especially when you think that was King of Pop at Staples Center.
Yeah.
Wow, that just shows you how transcendent he was. Kobe.
Yeah, I mean, in that city, it makes sense. I mean, in Los Angeles, because it's Los Angeles, I can see that. I mean, obviously, Michael Jackson is probably far more famous than Kobe, but because he was, you know, based in L.A. for so long.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I think the mayor, amongst other people, said that the entire city was affected and mourning the loss of Kobe because of what he meant to the entire Los Angeles area. I mean, he was God. I mean, he was the guy that resurrected basketball, brought championships, and then took it to another level. So Lakers and Rockets Thursday night from L.A. should be an interesting scene. I believe that's a TNT game.
Did you see from the Super Bowl halftime show where they said that sales for the songs that were performed skyrocketed? And this is why I think in part they don't pay the performers, because they still don't do that, right? Like Shakira and J-Lo didn't get paid.
They did not. That's at least the public announcement is they weren't paid.
Well, according to this article, the initial sales reports from Nielsen is that the halftime show garnered 1,013% sales increase on February 2nd, the day of the game. They sold 16,000 digital downloads on Sunday, up from a little more than 1,000 for the same songs on Saturday. So 15,000 more than they did the day before because of the Super Bowl. It said Shakira's Whenever, Wherever, which sold nearly 4,000 on February 2nd, was up 1,194%.
Now, I heard Granato and Lance talking about this.
That's crazy.
And then Lance started getting into the numbers going, so basically at 99 cents a download, is that really – so they made $5,000 more than
Not getting all of that 99 cents
but
either.
Even still, so it's like because they didn't get paid for the halftime, it's like, well, evidently, obviously, the songs are obviously in the past. People aren't going to be buying them on the regular, on the daily. But I forget if it was Granato. I think Granato pulled out the numbers and said, yeah, so there was like 4,000 sales on Super Bowl Sunday. And Lance is like, okay, so they made $4,000.
They didn't really even make that.
And then you start talking about all the people that have a piece of the pie.
Label.
The label,
and then you got your managers and your agents and the artists, the writers, all that stuff. By the time it's done, I'd be surprised if somebody like Shakira doesn't see a quarter to every dollar.
They don't need it. Obviously, they're set.
A quarter to every dollar. So she made a grand off of those 4,000 extra sales of
whatever. I mean, it's nothing new in the industry to say that they don't. Music sales is not where all the money is. A lot of it's in performing.
Yeah.
It's performing, being in a venue, and just going from city to city and performing. And that's sure. really where the money is for musicians these days, more than anything
else. Well, as your career progresses, too, because everybody says that first album and tour,
yeah.
they own you. They get all the money, and you get nothing.
Yep.
Just watch the docuseries on, I forget who the Chris Farley-looking dude that was like the guy responsible for the boy bands of like NSYNC and all that.
The weirdo guy.
Yeah, and Lisa was watching the documentary on it one night, and it's like dude was making money hand over fist in the millions, and the guys hadn't even gotten paid, and he had this big celebration dinner for him, and he gave him a check for like 10 grand.
That's crazy.
And they were like, what? And in the meantime, he's rolling it, and he's opening up his own production areas, studios, and everything like that. It's like, yeah, if you aren't real careful and don't have really good advisors,
and you're
they
new,
can get taken to the
that's
cleaners.
The thing.
Yeah.
Any aspect of entertainment, whether any show business, whether it be film, music, comedy, you know, whatever it is, if you're new, people are going to take advantage of you. If you're just getting an opportunity, people are going to say, hey, look. We're not going to pay you because this is a good opportunity for you. And you have the choice. You either take that opportunity and see what you can make of it and get paid down the road. It's almost like baseball. Like when baseball players first start,
analogy, yeah.
they don't make that much money, but it's like, well, let's just see what you got. You're going to get, you know, the league minimum. And then once you make it to arbitration, if you're a star, you'll get star money. And some of them do, some of them don't. And that's the same thing in the music biz. Some people get those rotten deals and then end up becoming, you know, whoever, but some of them get it and never make a dime.
Yeah, I mean,
and have one hit and that's it.
Yeah, and a lot of times it's how much they believe in the artist too. Maybe you drew attention and they know that you're a new artist, so they won't pay you that much. But do they really believe you as a guy that's going to actually grow?
Yeah.
And so if they don't believe in you, a lot of times you will even make even less.
And that's what's crazy is you don't get record deals unless you've already established yourself with a fan base.
Sure.
A lot of people don't just get a random record deal. They want to see, have you done shows? Do you have a following? Do you have someone that can support a record if we were to, you know, put you on a label? And it's a tough business, man. Not just music, but show
business. When you see the one-hit wonders that are still out there trying to pound the concert scene and go to the small clubs and venues still trying to hang on, it's because the record company rode the wave, they reaped all the benefits, and because you weren't talented enough to have longevity and create album after album of success, you're trying to live off that name the rest of your life, trying to rekindle and recoup some of the funds that you didn't make off that first album and tour.
Speaking of the guy you're thinking of, Lou Pearlman.
That's his name, okay.
Yeah. That was the creepy boy band guy.
At least that guy.
Did you guys hear about Rush Limbaugh?
Yeah, I did.
Yep.
Advanced lung cancer, announced it on a show. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you the worst thing about all this. The worst thing about Rush Limbaugh coming out and announcing that he has. Where are you going?
If this is anything like yesterday, I'm going to just duck now. Because if you're going to fire up the masses again, I'm just going to. Get out of the way.
Did you see him leaving?
I did see him.
Dude, you weren't here yesterday.
I wasn't.
I'm
aware.
He poked every bear in the forest yesterday.
Oh, with the Trump and the politics stuff. Oh, yeah, I did see it on the Twitch feed. I did go back.
First of all, you saying I poked
a bear.
You
poked the 409.
Sounds like I had sex with a bear.
You poked the Trump peeps.
I ain't out here poking no bears.
You were poking a lot yesterday.
I didn't poke anything.
But what was your point about Rush Limbaugh, though?
The worst thing about this is the people that have come out and basically said, good.
Yeah, that's
bad. Oh, yeah, that's bad, yeah.
There are people that were like, oh, well, remember when he made fun of Michael J. Fox or he said he didn't believe him or this or that or the other? Okay, but that doesn't mean that you see someone that's dying and go, good. Outside of Hitler or someone like that, Rush Limbaugh is not Hitler.
Yeah, okay? It's inevitable.
He's a human being that said some outlandishly awful things about a lot of different topics and people, and though you may not agree with him politically, and I don't, I'm not a Rush head. I'm not whatever the hell, a limbo. I don't know what they call him. But I don't agree with what he talks about politically because I think he's too outlandish and crazy. But that doesn't mean that it's okay to say, oh, good, Rush Limbaugh's going to die. It's not.
Well, two wrongs don't make like a right. That. You don't have to stoop to that level.
Exactly.
I hate to minimize it. I mean, simplify it to that level, but that's exactly what it is.
That was the saddest part. I'm looking at my Facebook timeline and my friends, and, you know, I'm friends with a lot of liberals. Because in comedy and in you know radio and TV and all walks of life there's in show business there's a lot of liberals and I'm not a liberal and I'm also not a conservative, but I'm shaking my head and I'm ashamed that all these people on the left that are celebrating that this man's gonna die, like have some compassion.
I think it's everybody. It's inevitable. Humanity. It's inevitable. Even if you're not famous, someone's gonna say something like that.
But those are bad people. You're no better than him if that's what you think about him.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Man, yeah. I just think it's awful.
Yep. So
thoughts
sad,
and prayers to Rush Limbaugh.
Sad news there. Second hour of the show, sad enough to report, is in the rearview mirror. But that means the windshield is wide open and bigger and better as we have the final 60 minutes to go. You're going to be a part of it. Stay tuned. It's coming up next. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.